welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've already said hallelujah is how we begin, but it's also the hallelujah that sustains us in the middle, and the hallelujah is how we're going to end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will lift our eyes to the hills, knowing that our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, because you, O God, are the source of our strength. You alone, our God, is the strength of our life. And so we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, we lift our eyes, we lift our arms, we lift our eyes, we lift our hands. If you're not already, lift and pick a part that works and lift up your heart to the Lord, the one who is the source of your strength and the strength of your life. And together we say amen, because we stand in agreement. It's our yes and amen that we expect to be strengthened by the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our everything on this morning. And now, Lord God, bring us closer to you through the preaching of your word. Say all that it is that you need to say to us and give us hearts that are open to hear you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for the gift of another day and for allowing us to be in his presence, his holy presence. Let us never take for granted an opportunity to worship in the presence of the Most High God. And so when we come into his presence, no matter where we are, no matter who's around or who's not, let us always remember that God has invited us here. We read together from our scripture on this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7. The Gospel according to Matthew. And I'll be reading from chapter 7, beginning at verse 24, just a few verses from the New Revised Standard Version. Matthew 7:24 reads this way: Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone, the Bible says, who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The word of the Lord is blessed. If we need a title or a theme or a topic today, why don't we say what the Lord is saying to us, which is, watch how you build. Watch how you build. Lord, we thank you for your word. The story of the three little pigs was first printed in the 1800s and has since that time, over all these years, been adapted and readapted for other audiences across all types of media, not just books, but cartoons and movies. Now, the traditional story of the pigs begins with its title characters, wait for it, originally named Whitey, Blackie, and Brownie. These three pigs were sent out into the world by their mother to seek out their own fortune. And as the original story goes, the first little pig built a house of straw, but a wolf blew it down and devoured him. The second little pig built a house of sticks, which the wolf also blew down and devoured him. Now, each encounter with these two pigs included a conversation that went like this. The wolf would say, little pig, let me come in. To which pigs one and two both replied in their own separate ways, no, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And clapping back, the wolf threatened to huff and puff, you know the story, and blow their houses down, which he did. Now, the third little pig built a house of bricks, which the wolf failed to blow down. Now, he did try to trick his way in another way, and finally the wolf came down the chimney to his defeat, but that's another sermon for another day. Now, the internet says that this story about the three little pigs is tailored to teach us about how working long, hard hours pays off, and maybe sometimes that is true. But I submit to you this morning that this story is more like Jesus' story in Matthew chapter 7 than we think. I think that the pigs are telling us or teaching us, like Jesus, that it matters how you build. And more specifically, it matters what you build your house on, if that is, you want it to stand. Now, nowhere in the story does it tell us why or how the pigs chose to build their houses the way that they did. It doesn't let us know why the pigs chose what materials to buy for their houses. And beyond that, we don't know if they watched YouTube videos, because that's where I go, or did they just guess? Did the pigs discuss amongst themselves at a very important Zoom meeting? Did they weigh the pros and cons, or did they chart out how they were to proceed with the building, or how did they decide how long this building project would take? Did the pigs, we don't know, did they ask for help from the elders, BJ, the ones who had already built their homes before and probably in worse conditions than these? But would the pigs have even listened to wise counsel if they'd gotten it? Were they wise? Were they foolish? Foolish, the word moros, foolish, like a moron. Not a lack of intelligence by any mean, but closed up, foolish. Not tapping into the resources that are right there available for you. Wouldn't it be great, believers? Wouldn't it be great, Christians, if we had a blueprint for how to build our lives? Wouldn't it be great if we had instructions, something like even just basic instructions before leaving Earth? Wouldn't it be great? And that's exactly what we have, these words. Here in Matthew, Jesus has just told us, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain and the floods, the rivers overran, and the winds came against it, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on rock. And Jesus contrasts this against another person, a foolish man who built his house on sand. And so when these same rains, when these same rains and floods and rivers overran and the winds came against it, there was a different outcome. This house, it fell. It fell and it failed, the Bible says, in a big, noisy, and noticeable way. This passage of scripture that we just read is at the very end of what some call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 7, 5 through 7. And these words that we just read are the closing words for the sermon, for Jesus' lesson from high place. And these words that we just read are to instruct the hearers in the way of Jesus, to instruct the hearers even today. And so when Jesus says to us, whoever hears these words and acts on them will be like a wise man. He means the words that he just spoke about in this sermon. So I hope that they were listening to the sermon. I hope that we're listening to the preacher, Jesus, so that we have heard the words that he has given to us, because he said, now you are responsible for these words. So wake up. So just what words, Christians, just what words, brothers and sisters, was Jesus referring to for them, for us to hear and to put into practice? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus was teaching that the merciful would obtain mercy and those that mourn, hallelujah, would be comforted. Jesus, our Jesus, was teaching that the peacemakers would be called the children of God. Jesus was teaching that it is a blessed condition to be persecuted and slandered, lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, when it is for the cause of righteousness. Jesus was preaching for us to love our enemies and to bless those even who send persecution into our communities. He said it's even sinners love those that already love them, but are you willing to love your enemies? Jesus was teaching not to demonstrate our righteousness in public with prayer and holy speech with the goal of gaining likes and followers. That's what Jesus said, these words. Jesus was teaching that the most valuable of all of our treasures are not the earthly entrapments or pleasures, but those things that are kept by heaven's guard. These words, Jesus was preaching that the Lord God of heaven knows, hallelujah, what we have need of, and for us not to be so anxious, so anxious about ourselves that we sell out our witness or that we sell out our power or that we sell our testimony in exchange, unholy exchange for false security and human protection. That's what Jesus was teaching, these words. He said Jesus was teaching that how we judge one another, even him, would be measured by how we are judged, would be measured how we judge others. Jesus was teaching with these words, telling us to pursue God always, to ask and to seek and to knock. Jesus was preaching these words that the way to destruction is wide open. Plenty of room, but narrow is the way. Narrow is the way to God. So be careful of the crowds, my brother. Jesus was teaching and preaching these words for us to watch out for false prophets. Listen to the words, but you better check out the fruit. Jesus was saying that whoever hears these words, whew, what a sermon from a preacher, Jesus. These are the words. And it's through these words that Jesus paints a picture for us of what a world that is imagined by God, a kingdom where justice abides and people take care of each other. These words, this is a beloved community that Jesus is building his teachings to demonstrate, where we don't just hear preaching, but we respond to what he said. Scripture is consistent about this, y'all, about this message about doing what you hear. James writes, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. We have been given what we need in the word of God, the right materials to build a firm foundation. But we must choose to use them. King James puts it this way. Therefore, whoever hears these words, hears and has heard these sayings of mine and doeth them. And the message puts it this way. If you work these words into your life, then you are like the wise or smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. He likens our hearing and doing of his word, those two have to go together, to the wisdom of building a house on a strong and solid foundation. But even through the Facebook Live, I can hear you saying, but preacher. Preacher, there has got to be more to it than these words. I get what you're saying. But last time I checked, preacher, you can't take these words to the bank. Last time I thought about this, preacher, I hear what you, Jesus, y'all saying, but you can't take these words to the market. You can't take these words to the doctor's office. It doesn't feel like right now, if I'm being honest, preacher, that we have what we need to build, especially right now. You know what's going on. Our resources are limited. The tides are low. The participation is low. And so we can't rely on what we have relied on before. My patience is short, hallelujah. And jobs are gone and stress is high. And there aren't any bricks to build. There aren't any solid rocks left. What are words? And not only that, preacher, listen, how about this? We don't have time for this right now because there's just too much going on. I don't have time to talk and think about words. I got to make sure my family's safe. I got to figure out a way to put food on the table and clothes. So these words are cool and all, but we don't have what we need and we don't have time. And let me just ask you this, since you up there preaching about words, why does Jesus care so much about us building a firm foundation? And if we quiet ourselves and we listen closely, we can hear heaven say, you got to get the foundation right. It doesn't matter how high you go, America. It doesn't matter the beauty of the cathedrals from the outside, church. Because if that high tower was not built on a firm foundation, it will surely crumble. In our impatience, we build too fast. In our anxiety and concern for how much time we have or don't have, we go for cheap materials. And it ends up costing us more in the end. You get what you pay for. Let me ask you, leader, are you pressing for a quick fix? Are we lusting to get back to normal? Or are we willing to invest in the long-term unknown built on God's word? Maybe it is faster. I hear what you're saying. It may be faster to build your theology, to build your understanding of God from an Instagram post, hashtag sinking sand. Yeah, I agree. It is cheaper. It is cheaper to build a foundation of the ministry on sand, but it won't last. Your faith won't stand built on church sayings with no change in your life. Don't just build on what's convenient, what's laying around the house. That's what we did before we came to the Lord. Amen. There's a saying that goes, a successful woman is one who builds a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at her. That's a cute t-shirt. But Jesus is saying that we ought to know better and we can build our foundation on the word of God. Why would Jesus tell us that we should build on a rock, build on these words of God, unless Jesus knew that they were in our reach? She's not trying to set us up. Unless Jesus knew that they were attainable. Unless Jesus knew that they were available. God says build wisely because the stakes are too high. And we have everything that we need. Everything that we need in the word. And the word is free. So does that answer your questions? We have what we need to build and to rebuild. Let not your heart be troubled. We have what we need to build nations. We have what we need to build systems. We have what we need to rebuild ideologies. We have what we need to rebuild practices the way we used to do it all the time. We have what we need to rebuild understandings. And let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We have what we need to rebuild how we teach and relationships and families and marriages. We have what we need to rebuild movements and churches. So make the investment. Because don't you know, builder for God, that we have an adversary, an enemy who wants our lives to be built on the foolishness of this world? Don't you know that we have an enemy who wants you to build with temporary, shoddy materials? Don't you know the wolf told the three pigs what he had planned for them? And we know the enemy is working constantly to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So this is important. And in this life, Jesus said, it won't be roses always. Sometimes, just sometimes. Anybody ever had a sometimes? Sometimes. Sometimes El Shaddai. Sometimes the Almighty God. Sometimes El Elyon, the Most High, the Sovereign God, will allow the winds and the floods to come and the rains to fall and the winds to blow. And so in your building plan, make sure you focus on the foundation. Hometown. Hometown is a home restoration show that I found about a month ago on HGTV, trying to distract myself from a whole lot of other stuff I didn't need to watch. And at Hometown, the show is set in a small Mississippi town, and the hosts, they renovate, a husband and wife. They try to take old homes and make them new again for new owners. In one episode called Termite Terror, you know where this is going, they were working with a school teacher from Texas who planned to relocate to Mississippi. And she found a house that appeared to need little more than just a few cosmetic touches, maybe some slight design changes. When they got there, the house had already been inspected by a professional. Watch out who you ask about the stability of your foundation. The house had already been inspected, and the host shared exactly how excited they were that they were going to have a quick and easy job this time. That is, until they started digging, Trustee Barbara. While preparing to move a few walls to make this beautiful master bedroom suite, the workers began to peel back the layers, and they discovered termite damage. Needing now to figure out how much damage there was there already behind the walls, they peeled and they dug, they peeled and they dug, and they soon realized that this new owner was about to be living with not one, but multiple clusters or families of termites. Over the years, you see, these termites have moved in and carved out homes for themselves in the unseen parts. And it was so bad that all of the other work Deacon George had to be stopped because this was an urgent issue that needed to be addressed. All the beams, the structures that held up the house under the home had already been compromised. Every area of society, every area of the home had already been weakened and was unsafe and endangered the people who were in it. The house, the furniture, the treasures, the people inside had been all this time and were standing on, resting on, sleeping on, and about to be building on crumbling wood. The cracks in the foundation of the house created the perfect environment for a bigger infestation. Unstable foundation, unstable house. Unstable foundation, unstable house. What creeps its way into God's house, into your house, into your life when the foundation is weak, when it's built on sand? Now, surely this new information was going to cost them more time and more money than they wanted to pay. It was going to slow down their plan. You know how we have plans? It was going to slow down this project. And so one of the hosts said, well, it's clear the first step is for us to hire an exterminator. Someone to come in and to get rid of the infestation, get rid of the bugs. But to his great surprise, the professionals told him that he was wrong. They said this was not the way to move forward, and this made no sense to me because I would have done whatever was needed to get them out the house. I would have done whatever it took to get rid of the termites first, and then go about fixing the foundation. I mean, after all, wouldn't they just keep eating away at the wood? And while they could see on the news, while they could see those insects running around, making plans to further destroy the foundation, they were not going to be the first point of attack. God says, stop trying to treat the symptoms and focus on the disease. But I had to check this out because it still didn't make any sense. And I learned that termites cause billions of dollars of damage every year in America alone. And part of the reason is because most of their destruction is out of view. Most of the damage is in places where you can't see it. And you just don't know how bad it is until the whole thing falls apart. Maybe now we're starting to see how bad things have been for a really long time. Maybe only now we can see how bad it is when the wolf comes, or when the wolf comes, or when the wolf comes, or when the winds come in. But it's been that bad for years, I'm so sorry to tell you, because the foundation had been eaten away, washed away, and was crumbling. Hear these words, Jesus says, and do them. Another month of termites eating away at the structure wouldn't have made as big of a difference if they didn't fix the foundation first. Jesus says, put these teachings into practice right away and work them into your life. But how do we move forward, preacher? With a shaky and damaged foundation, now what do we do? It seems like it's too late. How now do we honor these words of Jesus in this lesson for our lives? Isn't the foundation of this nation already crumbling? Well, Jesus says it's not too late. It's not too late for you to work these words into your life. Jesus says, build your life, erect your life with the wealth of God's word, and don't take shortcuts. Jesus says, look around. We don't know. Maybe the pigs were the only ones in their houses. But who else is with you, Christian? Who else will be affected in your family, on your block, in your neighborhood, generations not yet born, by the way you invest and build right now? And by the Spirit, Jesus says, ask the Spirit to help you get a look at the extent of the damage. And be honest about it. Peel back the walls and peel and dig. And let him peel and dig and peel and dig till all the damage is uncovered. Let the light shine the light into the dark places and see how far and wide and deep the damage goes. Be honest. Because the wolf came spewing murderous threats to the first pig. And in his pride, he said, my house is strong. But it wasn't. And the wolf came to the second pig, and he said, my church, my house will stand. But he also was wrong. And it fell, and it was utterly destroyed. And then the wolf came to the third, whose house was built in a wise way, a house of bricks and stone, and it did not fall. So the message is simple. When the winds and the waters rise, you can stand through this. We can make it, and we can stand if we build on the word of the Lord and we work the word into every part, every room, every floor of our lives. The enemy comes. He came again and again in the face of Jesus, so don't think he's not coming for you. The enemy comes with a huff and a puff to blow your house down, to blow your marriage down, to blow this church down, to blow this community down, to blow this nation down, to blow God's people down, to blow your mind down, to blow your body down. And when the evil one comes, and he will come, when the evil one comes knocking at your door and yells, little pig, let me in, little church, let me in, little family, let me in. If you've built on the word, you can shout not, oh not, not by the hair of my unwaxed quarantine chin. Because I built, and because you built, are you going to build for the Lord? Because I built on every word, on every word, on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. These words for this house, these words for your house, still standing. These words for this family, these words for your family, still standing. These words for this, our God, these words, our God, still reigning. Keep building, and don't you dare give up. Keep building, don't you dare lose heart. And we know that if we have been saved by him, when we leave this place with this shaky, unstable foundation, that we got a tent, we know that when this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, that we have a building, hallelujah, from God, an eternal house with a strong foundation, an eternal house in heaven and glory, not made by shaky hands, not made by human hands. But until that day, keep building on the word and be encouraged and tell somebody, it may not look good for me right now. You may see a house that wobbles every now and then, but I've got hope because I'm still laying the foundation in the word of the Lord. And I've got hope because my hope is built not on this world. My hope is built not on this government. My hope is built not on these people. My hope is built not on the numbers, but my hope and your hope ought to be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. What's his name? Jesus. Mary's baby. What's his name? Jesus, the soon coming King. That's where my hope, that's where my foundation is built, on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean, why don't you try something? Why don't you lean on his name? Why don't you lean on his word? Not the word from the doctor, not the word from the lawyer, not the word from the news, not the word from the president. Why don't you try to lean on his word and build your house on the rock that stands? Because on Christ, why don't you join me? On Christ, the solid rock, he'll never shake. On Christ, the solid rock, we ought to stand. Put your church on the rock. Put your marriage on the rock. Put your family on the rock. Put these children on the rock, because all of the ground is sinking sand. And then Hillsong said, oh, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak, point to yourself, the weak are made strong in the Savior's love through the storm, through the rains, through the sickness, through the pain. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's still Lord. He's still Lord of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy today to know that the solid rock, he'll always be there, right there for you? And they say when you hit the bottom, oh God, thanks be to God, he is the rock at the bottom, so you can trust him. You can trust him with your tomorrow, because he's the beginning and the end. He's the God who'll never leave or forsake you. Put it all on him. Build it all on him. Not on this world, but build your life. And be careful how you build. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. To God be the glory for being our rock today. To God be the glory for promising on these words he'll be our rock forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you are reliable. We thank you, oh God, that when darkness comes and we can't see, you are our light. We thank you, oh God, that when the threats of the enemy knock on our door, you are there with us, reassuring us. Don't you worry about it, baby. Your house is built on a strong foundation, and I got you. Thanks be to God for the God who loves us so much that you knew that we would need a rescue. You knew that we would need a savior to get out of this place. And so you came down yourself. You sent yourself. You got up and you came and see about us. You wrapped yourself in flesh. This is the gospel message. Jesus, our Lord, came, born of a woman, walked this earth, healing and blessing and teaching and leaving these words for generations to come. And he came as a sacrificial lamb. He came to die. He was born to die for your sins and for my sins, because there was no other cost that could be paid. And so the blameless one took on the sins of the world and died and allowed them to nail him to a cross. What kind of love is that? That's the eternal love. That's the gift of salvation that the Lord is offering to you today. And so here's the question. If you've not yet received this free gift, the gift that allows you to live in glory with the one who loves you the most, this free gift, the one who takes away your sins forever, this free gift, the one who died for you, then today say yes. You don't have to understand how all this works, but please know that salvation is today. Tomorrow was not promised. The winds and the rains come when we don't expect them. Is your house, is your salvation built on the rock? On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. There's no other choice. All other ground. Your job is sinking sand. Your education is sinking sand. Your bank account is sinking sand. Who you know is sinking sand. You can't build your house on grandma's stone. You've got to get your own. So Jesus says, come on today, baby. Come on today. Is there one listening? Listening who needs to make this decision? You do. You need a savior and a Lord, someone who will walk with you and talk with you and tell you that everything is going to be all right. Just open up your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. It's that simple. He'll do it. You don't owe him. You can't pay for this. You don't need a hookup. It doesn't matter who you know. But just come to him and give him your life, and he'll walk with you through the rest. Is there one?
Jesus' name.
Is there one?
On Christ the
is there one?
Let rock I stand on the ground.
Talk to him.
History.